Now, Ain and Ilana and Richard Collins have just joined us in studio. It's all about friendship here today, isn't it? Friendship!
If you're ever in a jam, here I am. If you're ever in a mess, S-O-S. If you ever feel so happy you land in jail, I'm your bail. It's friendship, friendship. Just a perfect friendship. But all the friendships have been forgot. Ours will still be hot. A lot of ding, ding, ding.
Oh, the wonderful talent of Judy Garland and Ethel Merman. Who remembers them? Ethel Merman and Judy Garland. Anyway, what has this got to do with our next item? Well, we know in the human world that friendships are really important, are they not?
True, Derek, too true.
Thank you, Niall, yes. But in particular, female friendships. But a recent paper published in Proceedings of the Royal Society B shows how they are important in other ape species too, because after all, we are apes. More specifically, in the gorillas of the Volcanoes National Park in Rwanda. Victoire Martignac is a primatologist at the Department of Anthropology at the University of Zurich, from where she joins us now. Hello, Victoire. Tell us about this fascinating research.
Yes. So for this study, we've been looking at mountain gorillas, and we've been trying to understand this very complex behavior that is dispersal. So the movement of individuals from their birth group to another group. And we've been, you know, investigating these behaviors in females because they move from one group to another. And we know it's a really important behavior, but it's so hard to study in the wild because, you know, most research sites, they only follow one or two or three groups of animals. And so they can't really track the movements of these individuals. But we've been collaborating with the Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund. And, you know, they follow like more than 10 groups of wild gorillas. And so this really allowed us to track the movement of those females, know where they're from, but also where they go, and then what shapes those decisions.
So, Victoire, you were studying these gorillas in Rwanda, up there in the mountains, where there are several groups, 10 or 11 different groups of gorillas, which are interacting with each other. So you were able to see where the females went when they left their natal group and moved to other groups, which groups they went to, which groups they avoided, what made it more attractive for them or otherwise. And you were able to do this because there were a lot of groups of gorillas in a relatively confined area.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the really great thing about the data set that we have is that we have all of those different groups. And so we can really track the movements and then, you know, see what makes some group, you know, more attractive than others. And so for us, we've been looking at more than 150 dispersals, which is really a lot. And we found that females would avoid groups with males that they had grown up with. And it's quite interesting because those female gorillas, they can disperse multiple times. So they will become familiar with, you know, other males. And what we found is that they were just avoiding those that they had grown up with. So not just any familiar males, which really tells us that it's not just, you know, being familiar with a male, but it was really the context of this familiarity. And one of the ways in which we explain this behavior is that we associate it with, you know, probably an inbreeding avoidance strategy, with the rule being that if they have grown up together, then it's quite likely that they are related, or at least it's more likely that, you know, they're related than with a male that she did not grow up with. And this is why it would make sense to then avoid those males when they make these decisions.
Yeah, that would make sense indeed. And they would know these gorillas from youth. But you did more than that in your research. Not only did you discover this to be the case, but there was also a huge impact in the females in a group. While they didn't want to go to fellas that they knew, they very much wanted to go to groups that had women that they knew in them. So was that the case, and why would that happen?
Yeah, you're completely right. And that was a really exciting finding. I think most of the time when researchers talk about dispersal, they talk a lot about, you know, it being a behavior in order to avoid inbreeding and to find unrelated mates. But here we're also showing that same-sex relationships can also matter and they can actually guide those decisions. So this was really interesting to see. And we did find that those relationships, you know, even after years apart, they can really still be influential. And I think in order to understand this, we we can try to think of the cost of dispersal. It's a pretty, dangerous move. Those females, they leave the group and then they try to find a new group. They start at the bottom of the social hierarchy. The residents can be pretty aggressive because they see a new female, and a new female can also be a new competitor. They might have to like share the resources with one extra individual. So it's pretty scary, and there's so much to learn when you go into a new group. I think it's the same for humans, right? When we start a new job or when we move to a new city, we have to learn so much. Who to hang out with, who to avoid. And I think those pre-existing relationships, they might really help those females integrate into this new social structure.
Victoire, a fellow named Edward Westermarck back in the 19th century wrote a book on the history of human marriage. And in that he says that youngsters raised together for the first 6 years have inverse sexual attraction, so that males and females are not attracted to anyone that they lived with for these early years. Now, the mechanism proposed is that this avoids incest. So is this Westermarck effect the feature that you are seeing now in gorillas?
I mean, you're completely right to raise this point. I think it might be very similar mechanisms. I think when there's paternal ambiguity, like a more simple rule might just be that you should avoid anyone that you have grown up with, even when we're not related to them. And I think it might be the same in gorillas, which really tells us that it's something that has some deep evolutionary roots.
Now, the mechanism, I'm interested in the mechanism here. If you take things like foxes and many of the mammals we have in Ireland, there's a difference in the extent to which males migrate or leave and females. In some cases, the females stay at home and the males travel. And in some species, it's the opposite. Why wouldn't that mechanism work? In the case of the gorillas, I understand that both of them disperse. Wouldn't it be sufficient if the males stayed at home and the females went elsewhere, or the females stayed at home and the males went elsewhere? Can you develop that for us a bit?
Yeah, I mean, you're raising a very interesting point. These are complicated questions, but you're right. In most animal societies, it's either the males or the females that disperse. This is, for example, when we see in the other great apes. It's just female bonobos that will disperse. They do it around sexual maturity. They don't have to avoid, males they have grown up with, because those males, they will stay in the group anyways. For gorillas, it's a bit different, but it's also like this in humans. We exhibit bisexual dispersal. So both males and females can disperse. In gorillas, it depends on the gorilla species, right? Because in lowland gorillas, it's a single male group. So there's only one male, and we know that all of the females will disperse because they know that it's very likely that the male is the father. But in mountain gorillas, we have many different group types. We have one male group, but we also have multi-male groups. So it's just a different society, and I think this is why this kind of social flexibility have evolved.
How do they detect when they go to another group the origins of the possible partners? They are able to tell that this fellow I met as a child and therefore I shouldn't have relations with them or something like that. But the other fellow is a stranger. He would be a good one to father my offspring or something like that. How do they do it? What is the mechanism? Is it smell? Is it some kind of recognition? Or what is going on here?
I would say it's just visual recognition. We know that females gorillas, they usually disperse during intergroup encounters. So when two groups or when one group and a solitary male encounter. And all of those encounters, they really provide those females with a lot of information about the group structure. They can really, see everybody and see who they are familiar with. And in our study, we looked at familiarity. So, whether two individuals had spent some time together. But at some point, we also wanted to go beyond this kind of binary way of measuring things. And we also looked at how much time they had spent together. And we know that in the case of, the males that the females have grown up with, it was really the males with whom they had spent between 5 to 10 years with them. So it's really a substantial time, to develop familiarity. And then I would just assume that they recognize them.
Victoria, I'm just wondering, you said they do it more than once. So if you had dispersed to a group and had an offspring, would you go again to another group? Would you wait until your offspring was actually independent? Or how would that work? Could you have an offspring with one group, leave that behind when it got big enough, and go off to another group and have another offspring? Does it happen like that if you're a female?
So we know that usually the females, they will stay in the group until the infant is independent, so around 3.5 years. But of course, it also happens that, you know, they will disperse and they will leave their offspring behind. But that's quite rare. But we know that usually they will stay in the group until their offspring is independent, because, you know, one of the reasons of this, behind dispersal, is also to protect their offspring and to avoid infanticide. So they can move between groups. They can do it multiple times. We had, you know, for example, a female dispersing 11 times. So that's really a lot. But it doesn't mean there are no constraints. Sometimes they would actually stay in the group. Or, for example, we know that it's quite unlikely for a female to disperse when she's pregnant, because then if she gives birth to her offspring in another group, then the risk of infanticide would be quite high.
Is there a penalty for the female, or the male for that matter, moving to a new group? If you take the human situation, a lady coming in from outside is seen as exotic and very attractive to the males in the group, because she represents a possible gene alliance that will favour their genes in the long run, whereas the female's attitude is different. They tend to exclude the outsider because their genetic interest is to keep outsiders out. Are mechanisms like that applying? After all, there's a trade-off here. The group is going to win or lose. The members of the group are going to win or lose by accepting somebody from outside. Are there mechanisms like that at play?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I haven't looked into this yet. This is the next plan for my PhD, to look at, you know, how females integrate and how do residents behave towards this female. And yeah, there are so many interesting questions that we can ask. We can maybe expect males to react very differently to a new females, but also we can look at the strategies that, you know, this female will use. Will she spend a lot of time with maybe juveniles in order to settle in within this new group, or will she try to develop relationships with females, because this might be a bit more tricky than with the males? These are all very interesting questions. I haven't really looked into this, but yes, I do predict that there will be some sex differences in how the residents will interact with the new female. What we know is that, you know, sometimes a female disperses to a new group, but she only stays for like 20 days, or sometimes even less. You know, she might stay for like 5 days. So there might be some, you know, some things happening that makes her want to leave again. And on the other hand, sometimes they will go to a new group and they will stay for many years and they will settle down, they will have offspring. So this, you know, this whole integration part is also really interesting to study, because it might really be different according to each disperser.
Victoire, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much.